This is the NOCM ESOL International Proficiency Level C2 listening examination. Please check that your name and other details are on your mark sheet. The invigilator will have explained how to fill in the mark sheet. Do not write on the examination paper. Listening examination will now begin. You will hear 10 sentences. Read the replies on your examination paper. You have 2 minutes to read the replies on your examination paper. Seconds remaining. Listen to the sentences. You will hear the sentences in full twice. Choose the best reply for the situation. Then you will have 2 minutes to check your answers. 1. You look better. It looks like you've had a good nap. 2. My car needs fixing. Can you help? 3. Congratulations on your baby. I hope both your wife and the baby are well. 4. I don't know what to do about fixing the laptop. 5. I'm fed up. 6. I think that may be a risk too far. 7. Did you know Mark was going on holiday tomorrow? 8. You are behind the times. We've moved on since then. 9. Every member of staff must be aware of the new rules around internet use at work. 10. Why do you put up with that behaviour? Now listen to the sentences again. 1. You look better. It looks like you've had a good nap. 2. My car needs fixing. Can you help? 3. Congratulations on your baby. I hope both your wife and the baby are well. 4. I don't know what to do about fixing the laptop. 5. I'm fed up. 6. I think that may be a risk too far. 7. Did you know Mark was going on holiday tomorrow? 8. You are behind the times. We've moved on since then. 9. Every member of staff must be aware of the new rules around internet use at work. 10. Why do you put up with that behaviour? Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. Thirty seconds remaining. You will hear two conversations. Read the questions and answers on your examination paper for both conversations. You have 2 minutes to read them. Thirty seconds remaining. Listen to conversation one. You will hear the conversation twice. Answer the questions, then you have 2 minutes to check the answers.
We're going to talk to Jenny Bell, who was recently awarded a Children of Courage Award for her fundraising efforts over the last 5 years. Jenny is just 16 and has terminal cancer, but she's determined that she will improve other people's lives as much as she can. Jenny, what made you start fundraising?
Well, I was diagnosed myself with terminal cancer around 12 months ago. But my mother died when I was 10 of breast cancer. Even back then, I felt that I had to do something to help fight cancer, so I started to look around to see what I could do. I was really upset by my mum's death and was also very angry and determined that she would not be forgotten. It has been harder in this last 12 months to keep going, but I'm trying to remain positive and to fundraise as long as I can.
What is your most treasured possession?
A letter that my mother wrote to me before she died. I've read it so often that I know it off by heart, but I would hate to lose it.
If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
A way of making people well again. No one should have to suffer.
To whom would you most like to say sorry and why?
My doctors, really. They're always pestering me to slow down and rest more. But time is running out, and I want to try and fit as much into my life as I can.
What does love feel like?
It is like a flower in your heart. When you are with someone you love, the flower opens and you feel its warmth glow race through your body. It sometimes feels as though you could burst.
How would you like to be remembered?
I don't expect to be remembered, except by my immediate family. But I hope that someone will one day think that their mum or dad has had a better or longer life, and that the money I have raised will have helped.
What is the most important lesson life has taught you?
Life is too short. Make the most of every moment, and to make every moment count. You do not know what could be round the corner. Even if I didn't have cancer, I could walk out one day and be knocked down by a bus. You have to think, have I achieved anything today? Have I learnt anything today? Have I helped somebody today? And if the answer is yes, then you've done a good job. Now listen to the conversation again.
We're going to talk to Jenny Bell, who was recently awarded a Children of Courage Award for her fundraising efforts over the last 5 years. Jenny is just 16 and has terminal cancer, but she's determined that she will improve other people's lives as much as she can. Jenny, what made you start fundraising?
Well, I was diagnosed myself with terminal cancer around 12 months ago, but my mother died when I was 10 of breast cancer. Even back then, I felt that I had to do something to help fight cancer, so I started to look around to see what I could do. I was really upset by my mum's death and was also very angry and determined that she would not be forgotten. It has been harder in this last 12 months to keep going, but I'm trying to remain positive and to fundraise as long as I can.
What is your most treasured possession?
A letter that my mother wrote to me before she died. I've read it so often that I know it off by heart, but I would hate to lose it.
If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
A way of making people well again. No one should have to suffer.
To whom would you most like to say sorry and why?
My doctors, really. They're always pestering me to slow down and rest more. But time is running out, and I want to try and fit as much into my life as I can.
What does love feel like?
It is like a flower in your heart. When you are with someone you love, the flower opens and you feel its warmth glow race through your body. It sometimes feels as though you could burst.
How would you like to be remembered?
I don't expect to be remembered, except by my immediate family. But I hope that someone will one day think that their mum or dad has had a better or longer life, and that the money I have raised will have helped.
What is the most important lesson life has taught you?
Life is too short. Make the most of every moment, and to make every moment count. You do not know what could be round the corner. Even if I didn't have cancer, I could walk out one day and be knocked down by a bus. You have to think, have I achieved anything today? Have I learnt anything today? Have I helped somebody today? And if the answer is yes, then you've done a good job. Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. Seconds remaining. Listen to conversation 2. You will hear the conversation twice. Answer the questions, then you have 2 minutes to check the answers. Mr. and Mrs. Field, please do come in.
Thank you, Miss Carter.
Thank you for coming to Parents' Evening. How do you feel about Jessica? Is coping with important year?
I think she is panicking a bit. She knows that she has to do her exams at the end of the year, and she's really worried about the amount of work that she has to do and actually sit in the exams themselves. Is there anything we can do to help?
Have you any other children whom have already completed their exams?
We have an older son, Peter, but he no longer lives at home.
That's a pity. It would have been useful if he could have spoken to her to put her mind at ease and about how he went about planning for this important year.
Have you any ideas to help her?
It can be very stressful. We try and do what we can at school to prepare the children for their exams and give them techniques that may help. But it's often the children's mental state of readiness that will help them get through best. We give exam preparation within class, and we also have after-school classes as additional support. The children are able to do some past papers so they know what the exams may look like, and we also provide them with links to a website that may help. You could encourage Jessica to open up and to make you aware of any issues that she is having. This may avoid her bottling up her emotions, which can often lead to even more problems.
Is there any help for parents?
Yes, we can support parents a little. Each of the subject teachers will have a session over the next month to explain to parents what the exams will be like and what they can do to support their children's preparation. They will have lists of suitable revision websites and advice on any additional material that may be beneficial.
That sounds good. I guess we have got through this once, so we should be able to do it again. I sometimes think that it is as hard on the parents as it is on the child. We can see that there is an issue, and usually we know what it is, but it does feel quite lonely and you don't know what to do for the best.
I can understand that. We're always sure, though, if you want to ask any questions.
That's reassuring. Thank you. When will we get to know about these subject sessions?
You should hear from us within a fortnight.
Thank you very much, Miss Carter.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm sure Jessica will be fine. Now listen to the conversation again. Mr. and Mrs. Field, please do come in.
Thank you, Miss Carter.
Thank you for coming to Parents' Evening. How do you feel about Jessica? Is coping with important year?
I think she is panicking a bit. She knows that she has to do her exams at the end of the year, and she's really worried about the amount of work that she has to do and actually sitting the exams themselves. Is there anything we can do to help?
Have you any other children whom have already completed their exams?
We have an older son, Peter, but he no longer lives at home.
That's a pity. It would have been useful if he could have spoken to her to put her mind at ease and about how he went about planning for this important year.
Have you any ideas to help her?
It can be very stressful. We try and do what we can at school to prepare the children for their exams and give them techniques that may help. But it's often the children's mental state of readiness that will help them get through best. We give exam preparation within class, and we also have after-school classes as additional support. The children are able to do some past papers so they know what the exams may look like, and we also provide them with links to a website that may help. You could encourage Jessica to open up and to make you aware of any issues that she is having. This may avoid her bottling up her emotions, which can often lead to even more problems.
Is there any help for parents?
Yes, we can support parents a little. Each of the subject teachers will have a session over the next month to explain to parents what the exams will be like and what they can do to support their children's preparation. They will have lists of suitable revision websites and advice on any additional material that may be beneficial.
That sounds good. I guess we have got through this once, so we should be able to do it again. I sometimes think that it is as hard on the parents as it is on the child. We can see that there is an issue, and usually we know what it is, but it does feel quite lonely and you don't know what to do for the best.
I can understand that. We're always sure, though, if you want to ask any questions.
That's reassuring. Thank you. When will we get to know about these subject sessions?
You should hear from us within a fortnight.
Thank you very much, Miss Carter.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm sure Jessica will be fine. Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. Seconds remaining. You will hear a debate and a discussion. Read the questions and answers on your examination paper for both the debate and the discussion. You have 2 minutes to read them. Seconds remaining. Listen to the debate. You will hear the debate twice. Answer the questions. Then you have 2 minutes to check the answers.
Fracking is a process of drilling down into the earth to recover gas and oil from shale rock. It is controversial and many people strongly oppose the development of fracking. It has been widely used in the United States and has revolutionised the energy industry. But there are many environmental concerns. Sylvia Crown is with me now.
Good morning.
Sylvia, I know you have done a lot of research into fracking within the United States. There are widely opposing views of the benefits and environmental concerns around the industry. What's your view on this?
Well, first of all, I think that we must be open-minded and consider carefully the allegations that the protesters are putting forward. Although there may be some truth in some of the claims, much more research needs to be carried out. For example, one of the claims is that fracking produces earth tremors. Now, it was known that there were small earth tremors, for example, in Blackpool, only around 2 on the Richter scale, but it was in an area close to where fracking had taken place. Professor Rutter from the University of Manchester agrees that earth tremors are a potential hazard of the technique, but the danger of damage is small and not widespread. Another environmental concern is around chemical contamination of waterways close to the site. It is thought there may be carcinogenic chemicals involved in this, which obviously is a worry, but the industry insists that chemical contamination would be because of poor practice, not as a normal result of the technique.
But how would you feel personally about knowing that a fracking rig was to be erected near to your home? Surely you would be at least a little worried.
Well, I think that would want at least to find out more about what was happening and would probably want to understand the process better and how it would impact directly on me.
I am sure that is the case.
I suppose that I would also want to find out more about the safety record of the company that was intending to build the rig.
So what are the advantages of fracking? Are there any?
Well, one of the biggest is that we're able to tap into previously unused resources of oil and gas. In the United States, there's been a significant price reduction in energy prices. And in this day and age, that is not to be sniffed at.
No, quite.
It is also needed in the United Kingdom to protect our energy resources because we have a small amount to draw on and the North Sea gas reserves will not last forever. The United States is said to have around 110 years' worth of natural gas, which can be extracted by fracking. That will make it a major player in the energy market. However, despite this, there is still further development of other types of renewable energy, including solar and wind energy.
So what are the chances of fracking taking off in the UK?
Well, there are a number of issues in the UK. Protesters are constantly disrupting sites that are already operating and delaying or even stopping the development of new sites. David Cameron is really behind fracking and has recently extolled its advantages, both economically and in terms of employment and opportunities. He stated that it could bring in 74,000 jobs and financial advantages to local councils.
So the government is backing the expansion of the industry and giving financial incentives to local councils, which is bound to add momentum towards this expansion, regardless of the views of the people who live close to the proposed site.
I would expect there to be a significant increase in the number of fracking sites by the end of this decade. But I think that the process may be fraught in some places, and I don't think we need to have stronger evidence to back up industry claims there is no danger to human or nature or our environment.
All right, Sylvia Crown, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Now listen to the debate again.
Fracking is a process of drilling down into the earth to recover gas and oil from shale rock. It is controversial and many people strongly oppose the development of fracking. It has been widely used in the United States and has revolutionised the energy industry. But there are many environmental concerns. Sylvia Crown is with me now.
Good morning.
Sylvia, I know you have done a lot of research into fracking within the United States. There are widely opposing views of the benefits and environmental concerns around the industry. What's your view on this?
Well, first of all, I think that we must be open-minded and consider carefully the allegations that the protesters are putting forward. Although there may be some truth in some of the claims, much more research needs to be carried out. For example, one of the claims is that fracking produces earth tremors. Now, it was known that there were small earth tremors, for example, in Blackpool, only around 2 on the Richter scale, but it was in an area close to where fracking had taken place. Professor Rutter from the University of Manchester agrees that earth tremors are a potential hazard of the technique, but the danger of damage is small and not widespread. Another environmental concern is around chemical contamination of waterways close to the site. It is thought there may be carcinogenic chemicals involved in this, which obviously is a worry, but the industry insists that chemical contamination would be because of poor practice, not as a normal result of the technique.
But how would you feel personally about knowing that a fracking rig was to be erected near to your home? Surely you would be at least a little worried.
Well, I think that I would want at least to find out more about what was happening and would probably want to understand the process better and how it would impact directly on me.
I am sure that is the case.
I suppose that I would also want to find out more about the safety record of the company that was intending to build the rig.
So what are the advantages of fracking? Are there any?
Well, one of the biggest is that we're able to tap into previously unused resources of oil and gas. In the United States, there's been a significant price reduction in energy prices. And in this day and age, that is not to be sniffed at.
No, quite.
It is also needed in the United Kingdom to protect our energy resources because we have a small amount to draw on and the North Sea gas reserves will not last forever. The United States is said to have around 110 years' worth of natural gas, which can be extracted by fracking. That will make it a major player in the energy market. However, Despite this, there is still further development of other types of renewable energy, including solar and wind energy.
So what are the chances of fracking taking off in the UK?
Well, there are a number of issues in the UK. Protesters are constantly disrupting sites that are already operating and delaying or even stopping the development of new sites. David Cameron is really behind fracking and has recently extolled its advantages, both economically and in terms of employment and opportunities. He stated that it could bring in 74,000 jobs and financial advantages to local councils.
So the government is backing the expansion of the industry and giving financial incentives to local councils, which is bound to add momentum towards this expansion, regardless of the views of the people who live close to the proposed site.
I would expect there to be a significant increase in the number of fracking sites by the end of this decade. But I think that the process may be fraught in some places, and I don't think we need to have stronger evidence to back up industry claims there is no danger to human or nature or our environment.
All right, Sylvia Crown, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. Seconds remaining. Listen to the discussion. You will hear the discussion twice. Answer the questions, then you have 2 minutes to check the answers. Hello. The 2012 Olympics in London were hailed as a fantastic success, with a host of medals for British athletes, spurring the general population on to get fit and to participate in sport at every level. The government wants to see that interest in sport, which grew on the back of the Olympics dream, would be sustained and would grow further to encourage people to aim towards representing their country at the highest level. But what has happened to sport in the wake of the Olympics? Have we turned into a country of would-be Chris Hoys or Andrew Murrays? Has the investment in UK sports been continued in these tightened times? Whatever your questions or comments about the legacy of the Games, or how you feel the UK population has responded to the opportunities presented by the success of the British athletes, you can call Sports Box Live on 037 00 100 444. With me today to answer your questions is Jill Summers, who is a sports promoter, and Anne Wishbone, who is Head of Advice and Information at Sports UK. Our first question is for Thea in Sheffield. Fia, what's your question?
My question is that my sons play for a local junior football team. Their ground and facilities are really dilapidated. I understand that there is some funding available to support community sports and wonder whether we would be able to apply for any of this. We have approached the local council, but the funding cuts for local government have meant that they just have no money available. In fact, they have already closed facilities such as the Don Valley Stadium, which was a major disappointment to many people in Sheffield.
Yes, indeed. Don Valley was a track where Jessica Ennis used to train. I know there was a lot of controversy about closing the stadium. Anyway, your question is about some grassroots funding for sports. Anna, can you give Thea any advice?
Hello, Thea.
Hello.
You are right. There is a pot of money that you can access. The CSA Fund, Community Sport Activation Fund, is a £47.5 million lottery-funded programme that provides grassroots activity at a very local level. They will invest in what works best in your area, based on local need and evidence. The best projects will demonstrate the following key characteristics. A focus on a clearly defined geographical area and community, demonstrable understanding of sporting needs, evidence of what potential participants want or need in order to take part in a sport at least once a week. Local partners will have to work together to deliver and help fund the project with a clear and robust delivery plan showing realistic but ambitious numbers for increasing and sustaining participation once a week. It sounds as though this is just what your son's team needs.
And is it easy to apply?
That's right, there is an application form with details of the selection process online on the Community Sport website. It is a limited fund, so the sooner the team applies, the better.
That sounds great, Anna. Thank you very much. I will speak with the team's manager and see whether we can meet the criteria.
Thank you, Thea and Anna. What a wonderful start to the new football season. It would be if the facilities were improved. However, the impact of local council cuts has severely damaged the access to sports facilities across the country. Jill, have you found there has been a problem for the UK team's selectors who are trying to identify sports stars of the future?
At the moment, the impact has not been felt too heavily, but there are signs of the cracks starting to emerge. Funding allocated to sport is being partially withheld in some cases because of underperformance of specific sports to produce an effective plan to attract and support young athletes. For example, the swimming and tennis teams. The closure of sports facilities within these two sports in particular could have a severe impact on the identification of potential sports stars because these are two sports where entry costs are low, so there should be a large pool of athletes to choose from.
But part of the reason for the cuts is that the plan that the sports put forward was just not strong enough to justify 4 years of investment. The current plan doesn't have a good enough delivery plan across the country. There is not a good feedback mechanism, and it is not really based on customer insight. A key issue for all the sports to consider is how external factors outside the sports industry, such as local government cuts, may impact on participation. It's not good enough just to say that the closure of sports facilities will lead to the loss of funding. The leading bodies within each sport need to consider all elements that could impact in raising participation figures and should have the foresight to consider everything within the contingencies of the plan.
You can certainly see both sides of the argument. Maybe we can follow up on this story at a later time. Well, that's something we might be pursuing on Sportsbox, but I'm afraid that is all we have time for this story. My thanks to Jill Summers and Anne Wishbone. We will turn to our next topic, the rise of sustainable energy. Now listen to the discussion again. Hello. The 2012 Olympics in London were hailed as a fantastic success, with a host of medals for British athletes, spurring the general population on to get fit and to participate in sport at every level. The government wants to see that interest in sport, which grew on the back of the Olympics dream, would be sustained and would grow further to encourage people to aim towards representing their country at the highest level. But what has happened to sport in the wake of the Olympics? Have we turned into a country of would-be Chris Hoys or Andrew Murrays? Has investment in UK sports been continued in these tightened times? Whatever your questions or comments about the legacy of the Games, or how you feel the UK population has responded to the opportunities presented by the success of the British athletes, you can call Sports Box Live on 0370 100 444. With me today to answer your questions is Jill Summers, who is a sports promoter, and Anne Wishbone, who is Head of Advice and Information at Sports UK. Our first question is for Thea in Sheffield. Thea, what's your question?
My question is that my sons play for a local junior football team. Their ground and facilities are really dilapidated. I understand that there is some funding available to support community sports and wonder whether we would be able to apply for any of this. We have approached the local council, but the funding cuts for local government have meant that they have just have no money available. In fact, they have already closed facilities such as the Don Valley Stadium, which was a major disappointment to many people in Sheffield.
Yes, indeed. Don Valley was a track where Jessica Ennis used to train. I know there was a lot of controversy about closing the stadium. Anyway, your question is about some grassroots funding for sports. Anna, can you give Thea any advice?
Hello, Thea.
Hello.
You are right. There is a pot of money that you can access. The CSA Fund, Community Sports Activation Fund, is a £47.5 million lottery-funded programme that provides grassroots activity at a very local level. They will invest in what works best in your area, based on local need and evidence. The best projects will demonstrate the following key characteristics: a focus on a clearly defined geographical area and community, demonstrable understanding of sporting needs, evidence of what potential participants want or need in order to take part in a sport at least once a week. Local partners will have to work together to deliver and help fund the project with a clear and robust delivery plan showing realistic but ambitious numbers for increasing and sustaining participation once a week. It sounds as though this is just what your son's team needs.
And is it easy to apply?
That's right, there is an application form with details of the selection process online on the Community Sport website. It is a limited fund, so the sooner the team applies, the better.
That sounds great, Anna. Thank you very much. I will speak with the team's manager and see whether we can meet the criteria.
Thank you, Thea and Anna. What a wonderful start to the new football season. It would be if the facilities were improved. However, the impact of local council cuts has severely damaged the access to sports facilities across the country. Jill, have you found there has been a problem for the UK team's selectors who are trying to identify sports stars of the future?
At the moment, the impact has not been felt too heavily, but there are signs of the cracks starting to emerge. Funding allocated to sport is being partially withheld in some cases because of underperformance of specific sports to produce an effective plan to attract and support young athletes. For example, the swimming and tennis teams. The closure of sports facilities within these two sports in particular could have a severe impact on the identification of potential sports stars because these are two sports where entry costs are low, so there should be a large pool of athletes to choose from.
But part of the reason for the cuts is that the plan that the sports put forward was just not strong enough to justify 4 years of investment. The current plan doesn't have a good enough delivery plan across the country. There is not a good feedback mechanism, and it is not really based on customer insight. A key issue for all the sports to consider is how external factors outside the sports industry, such as local government cuts, may impact on participation. It's not good enough just to say that the closure of sports facilities will lead to the loss of funding. The leading bodies within each sport need to consider all elements that could impact in raising participation figures and should have the foresight to consider everything within the contingencies of the plan.
You can certainly see both sides of the argument. Maybe we can follow up on this story at a later time. Well, that's something we might be pursuing on Sportsbox, but I'm afraid that is all we have time for this story. My thanks to Jill Summers and Anne Wishbone. We will turn to our next topic, the rise of sustainable energy. Now check your answers. You have 2 minutes to check your answers. Seconds remaining. This is the end of the listening examination. Please check your mark sheet is completed correctly. Put your pens down.